I want to thank you all for coming, and I also want to thank the people of Constant for inviting me and bringing me here. And tonight, basically, I'm talking now to kind of set up my performance later so that there will be no ambiguities about anything I'm doing. No. A happy crowd. Tonight I'm performing a project called Interstices, and the performance I'll be doing actually combines the audio CD, which came out on Mill Plateau from Frankfurt, and it also incorporates a video I did around the same project through Love Bites in Sheffield. And basically this project, an interstice, just in case the language gets funny, is an interstice is like a small gap or space between other objects. And in this case, the metaphor that I was going for was the idea of queer pansexuality, transgenderism, intersexuality, as identity concepts that kind of occur between dominant constructs of sexuality, heterosexual versus homosexual, gender with male versus female, and kind of trying to find positions that occur in these kind of hollows of culture. At the same time, though, by defining an identity, of course, then you start to make something concrete. And so that then would be a removal away from this idea of like a space between things. So that was kind of the predominant metaphor that I was going for in this. And programming-wise, I used two different processes. One I call framing, and the other one I call systolic composition. And framing is basically just refers to the idea of a digital sound file consists of very small frames, or depending on the resolution of your sound, such as like a standard CD has 44,100 samples per second. And depending on how you what resolution you use for sound files, it could be more or less. But anyway, if you select those individual frames and repeat them either through programming or manual selection and stuff, you can create just very simple like buzzes and clicks and glitches. And also you could create kind of delay effects if you select larger segments of a sound file. And so for the compositions using this process, we're basically taking the beginnings and endings of sound files that were on my computer when I started this project. And part of the idea of that is that when that actually in making the project, that's kind of like the interstice between conceiving, you know, coming up with the idea for something and the moment when it becomes put into the marketplace by my turning it over to a record label or and then the distributors and such and such. So the actual kind of production process is also kind of an interstitial process. And when I start a project, though, because of limited disk space and stuff, I have to kind of start selecting and deleting old files and starting to create the space in which the new sound sources and other things can be put onto the computer. So for those, then, during that process, that's when I took different selections and created these kind of little framing tracks that are more in the beginning of this project. Then it goes into more of a technique called systolic composition. And a systola in writing is when you shorten a phrase. And also a systolic beat of the heart, systolic compression, is when the heart pumps the blood out of the heart. So what I did in these songs is I would take like pop songs, country, jazz, rock, soul funk, and delete the vocals out of them with rather hard edits. And the idea for this then was then to compress, both to compress the file and also to eliminate the kind of dominant verbal discourse of popular music, which would be kind of represented by these, by the vocals. And what you're left with are the little notes between words, or you know, between, so you catch the kind of breaths of the vocalist before and after they actually say a word and this sort of thing. And the idea then is to kind of draw attention to the little melodies and that occur at the periphery of dominant discourse. So that's kind of the operational metaphor in these compositions. And a lot of stuff that goes on with electroacoustic music in general, if people aren't really that into abstract computer music here, a lot of the kind of conventional metaphors that people who are interested in identity politics or kind of politicization of computer music, what we tend to latch onto a lot of times is this notion that that the glitch or the kind of acoustic residue of digital composition can be seen as a metaphor for a kind of for the cacophony of the cultural periphery. And so that's kind of the general operational metaphor in most kind of political oriented or content based computer music in general. So with all this going on, then it comes down to my interest in then taking the theme of transgenderism and also queer pansexuality. And sometimes this is done like in really literal ways, like taking interviews of intersex people and talking about the problems of the medical community making decisions about children's gender at birth, and you know, operating on them and this sort of thing. And other times it's more abstract, like taking a sound source and processing it and having it, it's having the original source be some sort of reference to some sort of cultural milieu. Or it could be like as simple as using a disco sample because of disco's relationship to gay music culture. It could also be like, I like to use jazz music samples because of the way that jazz functions in the marketplace as something that is both hyper-commodified and controlled by the market. And at the same time, jazz, of course, has this kind of grassroots leftist history, you know, of being a kind of radical music that's also associated with identity politics and cultural transformation. So, but the difficulty in actually trying to get into the details of why I would select a certain song to sample is often then becomes complicated by the difficulties in properly being able to clear samples legally. A lot of times the companies that control publishing or the copyright to the master recordings have no real perspective on how to judge or perceive electroacoustic music. And so my experience whenever I have tried to clear samples has been that I've always been rejected because they consider the music to be a kind of defamation of the original source materials, just because, I don't know, I imagine the tapes always go to some room of people wearing like gray business skirts or something, and like they listen to it and they just have no foundation to judge, so they hate it and decide that it's wrong and bad. But that then kind of becomes a prolonged frustration of mine in many of my projects, in that I can't really, a lot of times, I don't really feel comfortable always getting into the real specifics of why certain samples are chosen. And then this kind of becomes an ambiguity around the source materials and the kind of reference points that I find, though, also has certain analogies to certain ambiguities that happen within different aspects of different sexual communities. You know, there's a lot of ambiguities that people will have, whether they're operating in a kind of like, you know, gay or lesbian scenario or a transgendered scenario or straight culture. And, you know, people kind of cross in and out of all of these aspects of culture and allow certain ambiguities to kind of guide them through certain social interactions and all these. And so in some way I've kind of, you know, concocted that bullshit way of kind of, you know, justifying my not really just being gutsy enough to always disclose what my source materials are. But so for this project, then also, so you've got the systolic composition going, you've got the framing going, and then talking about basically there are a number of tracks in this that do have rather literal verbal sound sources, like I mentioned, like the intersex people talking about the healthcare problems, and also American talk shows. A lot of people think that it's just way too cheesy whenever I take samples from American talk shows, but at the same time, I think like they kind of really invoke a kind of gut level reaction to people of on the one hand, kind of a type of superiority to the people that are being watched, and on the other hand, I really think that they really elegantly portray the stupidity of American culture when it comes to perceiving gender and sexuality, and especially issues of transgenderism. So there are a series of tracks that kind of have the kind of those kind of more literal things. And sorry, let me get my thoughts here a little bit. So basically, though, one of the things that comes up while I'm producing all of these different tracks in my studio, then, is again this notion of it being an interstitial process, and something that on the one hand comes to a conclusion for me in terms of production when I've completed the accompanying analytical text and the graphics and all the sound files are done, when I pass those things on. On the other hand, it's the commodity itself, functions in the marketplace as, of course, you know, there's this each stage of like from production to manufacture to distribution to placement and sales in the store to personal consumption and performance within a home or within a public environment. All of these different things also then create kind of recontextualize and create new boundaries of how the project will be seen or evaluated or evaluated, just given some sort of worth, whether that's an economic worth or an ideological worth. Sometimes these cross over in very very kind of duplicitous ways, such as Mill Plateau itself, which has both an ideological interest in what's going on, and they also, of course, as a business, have an economic interest in it. The distributors always just have an economic interest in it, has been my experience. And then some shops, when it comes to the stores, some of them really only take it because of their personal interest in it. Others take it because they feel something will have a certain financial gain for them and stuff. So it's never really clear as to like what, other than saying that distributors are evil and greedy, it's never really clear with some of the other things, like with the labels and stores, as to you can't really just pigeonhole saying that, oh, they're only in it for the money or they're only in it for the ideas or the agenda and all this stuff. And of course, as me as a producer, it's like I'm also trying to, in addition to trying to have something available for people in terms of a communication gesture, of course, I'm also trying to survive and pay my rent and stuff. So then that also kind of feeds into my own motivations and how to, and again, like even this idea of trying to avoid lawsuits by being too clear and in sample content and stuff. How do all of these things kind of affect or inhibit the type of work that I produce? And I try to somehow reference those limitations and also that kind of incorporate the kind of hypocrisy that might arise out of certain conflicts between, desires for a distribution marketplace versus desires for a kind of more economic marketplace. And So I've kind of likened the that process of producing electroacoustic music to the process of kind of preparing to get dressed up in drag. That and that's kind of another metaphor within the album, is that the notion of transgenderism, it's not only interstitial in the idea of like kind of a really obvious, you know, oh well, it's like, you know, a cross between you know, male and female, but more in terms of process, when you're actually or like I find that when I you know, start to put on makeup, and from that point until I've kind of finished getting dressed, that actually during that process is when I kind of feel the most directly connected to some sense of actually like directed action, you know, as opposed to like being dressed up and going out. And I think for me that has to do with the idea that that I always have difficulties with finding conclusions in identity. And when it's like when I start to put on the makeup, then it's kind of like I'm no longer, I can't be any more masculine after that point. At the same time, it's like until I've finished putting on things, it's like I'm also not, in a kind of closed box of a certain level of feminine representation. And for me, that's much more interesting than the idea of trying to, you know, become the other, you know, and have a kind of desire to be the other. So that also kind of feeds into my interpretation of surgical alteration and hormonal alteration and things like that. The concept of a kind of radical potential for transgenderism, in my mind, in some ways becomes less radical after the procedure is completed, you know, because a lot of times that concept of surgical transformation, that sort of thing, has to do with is about trying to locate an endpoint. It's trying to reformulate yourself into a body that a lot of people oftentimes felt like, you know, they were born in the wrong body, this kind of metaphor. And for me, it's like when you kind of reach that point of conclusion, which is oftentimes a conclusion that's also rooted in a lot of conventional assumptions about what it is to be a man or what it is to be a woman, then kind of like the allure of any sort of progressive outlook on transformation for me kind of gets lost a lot of times. It's been my experience, at least, that within different transgender communities, both with male to female and female to males that I've known, that, you know, the political outlook is oftentimes, you know, oftentimes the desires for what people want to be, how they want to be perceived, are very conventional. And so a lot of times when people within the gay or lesbian communities talk about the radical potential of transgenderism, a lot of times it's ultimately about conservatism, and which is something that, of course, is also widely discussed. So for me, then you'll see some things in the video segments of tonight's performance, some of the text and images that relate to surgical alteration, kind of draw these allusions to the idea that, for example, you know, a double mastectomy that's performed for a female to male transgendered patient and a double mastectomy that's performed on a cancer patient, the end result and the actual procedures may be fairly similar, and the end result may look similar, but at the same time, you know, the two patients are going to get very different types of counseling. For example, the female to male transgendered person is going to get counseling that reinforces the idea of having successfully entered a stage of masculinity, whereas the typical woman who undergoes double mastectomy for removal of tumors or this sort of thing is oftentimes given counseling that kind of reinforces the notion of retaining a sense of femininity after this bastardization of the body. And so then how does this same procedure and how does this same kind of endpoint then result in two kind of conflicting concepts of nature and the body and around gender? And so for me, that kind of represents the way in which the naturalness of our gender and also our naturalness of sexuality can be, context-based and can be seen and positioned and defined in terms of context. And I think it's always more helpful, I found it always more helpful to talk about these issues of identity in relation to social influence rather than biology, if only because, not to rule out the factors of biology, but simply because societal interaction, to me, offers a much more immediate concept of interactive change, as opposed to the idea of biological predetermination and all these things, which really, in a way, kind of remove the potential for an engagement of transformation or an engagement of constructing your own identity. It's kind of disempowering to. On the one hand, people, like in America, the debate about like the fighting for the biological recognition of homosexuality, as a kind of predetermined condition, so that people can get certain rights under anti-discrimination legislation. On the one hand, there's this attempt to find empowerment through biology. On the other hand, though, it's like once you start. Once you start legislating biology, of course we know like the whole dark side of that would of course be Nazi Germany, that sort of if that's of course like the extreme legislation of biology, biological prioritization. And so I think that like a lot of people then within like the gay and lesbian communities in America, at least they're more interested in the kind of, short-term getting something passed through legislation as opposed to really thinking about how the idea of legislating biology or always locating your identity within some sort of predetermined, physical state can ultimately kind of backfire against you. So that, again, is another reason why I'm interested in the idea of processes that kind of happen between the points of definition, between the points of concluding what how your body is perceived. And of course, then that kind of gets more complicated when, you look like a drag queen and the end result is to have a kind of obvious visibility of being transgendered as opposed to really passing as a woman or passing as a man, that sort of thing. So all of these things kind of factored into this project, and hopefully some of them will be clear in the types of sounds and the images and stuff that you'll be seeing. I guess we still have about 10 or 15 minutes, and I don't know really if anybody would like to do some sort of Q&A or just throw out ideas to keep me rambling for a little bit, or else I can just shut up and go away or whatever. But I have no idea if people here are really directly familiar with my projects or my work or if it's or how many of you are just kind of here because of Constant or and this event and stuff. So I don't want to presume that I don't want to presume that, that everybody's really that familiar with my work, but if anybody has any questions or anything that you'd like me to field, I would be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry? After the show? Yeah, but I have a feeling that that after the show, then it's going to be a little later, and then I'm going to be DJing some afterwards. So I think it'll be a little strange to break it and do it there. Although, logically that would make sense, wouldn't it? But yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have performed some. I moved to Japan at the end of January, and I've been doing some performing there, and I have some different club things that might work out that would, like, one would kind of, also, like, if people aren't really that familiar with my music, I produce in a number of different genres and styles, and from the kind of electroacoustic stuff that I'm performing tonight to digitally composed piano renditions of 70s new wave people like Kraftwerk or Gary Newman, or the next album will be out in November is of Devo songs. And I also have my own record label called Comatose Recordings that's more like a style I call fag jazz, that's more kind of like a digital simulacra of jazz improvisation combined with deep house and dance music. And so in Japan right now, I've just been starting there, so I've had some meetings with some people that are interested in kind of positioning all three of these different types of events at different venues, and so hopefully things will pan out, and I'm looking to have something more kind of regular going on there. And that's one of the reasons why I did relocate, was just because of all the years I've lived in the U.S., I hardly ever performed there, and my personal record label has always done better in Japan than anywhere else, so that was one of the big draws of going there. But and also this, just to kind of get back to this idea of producing in all these different genres, for me part of that is also has to do with this idea of a kind of multiplicity of identities, and trying to get away from this idea that music is some sort of primal expression of the musician's soul and this kind of bullshit, because for me that's really, really uninteresting, and love songs are really uninteresting and all this stuff. If you're really just doing something totally masturbatory and for yourself, then you don't always need an audience for jerking off, and always, not always, but sometimes. But For me, then, this idea of producing in a lot of different styles, and I don't really have musical training, and the idea of kind of especially focusing on images of improvisation, which are often associated with, like, really hyper-trained people, people who transcend training, that sort of concept. I'm interested in using computer technology to kind of recreate that in order to, like, demystify the kind of, the spiritual nature of the sounds, and also it has to do with this idea of a multiplicity of identities, around the way that identities, definitions of a person's sexuality, definitions of a person's gender, definitions of a person's culture, and race, and these things all change and mutate according to different social circumstances and cultural circumstances. So, I think that there's a number of musicians that also have this history. Like one of my big heroes is Haruomi Hosono from Yellow Magic Orchestra, and I've been really inspired by his catalog, which through the late 60s and until today is really diverse, and also from like ranging from electroacoustic to kind of folk rock to ambient and house and kind of acids. He did a lot of weird acid experimentation, acid house stuff in the early 80s, and was also one of the first artists to kind of politicize Brian Eno's notion of ambient by having this idea of bringing it to the global dance floor, which he, as Hosono said. But, I mean, Hosono's, he doesn't really speak English, and sometimes, you know, the way that he chooses to phrase things, I think, are cheesy. But ultimately, the concept is there to, like, to socialize what was previous, to socialize a type of music, an ambient music, that kind of prior to Hosono and coming out with this idea around 1980 was more about Brian Eno's idea of a kind of, you know, almost like Sartonian nausea, you know, of like this kind of isolation and with it being so flooded with sounds that you kind of end up being isolated within yourself. And so I'm much more of the type of person that has affinities with Hosono's music, which is about a kind of, you know, public performance of ambience and this sort of thing. So, I don't know. Got about 5 more minutes if anybody wants to. Okay, great. So, easy for me. So I'm gonna go away and make myself beautiful and come back in around 8:30. We'll start the performance. So, thank you all very much for coming.